This program is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Delaney, and thanks for joining us on the show. Happy holidays to everybody, whatever it is you celebrate. I hope you got to eat well, you got to hang, chillax, watch games, watch movies, play games, I don't know, just do whatever you like to do. I'll tell you one thing I don't like is when I fly and the flights get canceled. I know, boo, everybody's saying that across the world right now, right? Let's stick to the U.S. Airlines canceled more than 1,000 flights Monday, again, struggling to recover from weather, wintry kind of weather, Omicron, the surge from that, the caseloads hitting crews, causing the staff to be short, and then the staff shortages, they can't fly the planes, obviously. Pretty broad across the industry with the well-known airlines. But two smaller ones got hit by this. Alaska Airlines, SkyWest, some of you in the Pacific Northwest that might fly, that they were hit pretty hard. In fact, the hardest, the two carriers between them canceled about 400 flights on Monday. Yikes. Oh, so awful when you have to get from point A to point B. But what is the world about now? The question mark and patience. What did I say sometimes when I speak? Hey, listen, patience pays. It has to, right? It has to pay. All right, so because Omicron is hitting so many people, let me give you some of that at the top, the latest that we have. We know that there's more cases. The surge is of course, definitely on, and it's been awful in the last 7 days. Average, if we looked at that, the new cases, about 203,000 on Sunday. That's a tally that was done up by the Washington Post, by the way. We haven't seen that since January 19th of, you know, the beginning of this year. January 19th. Wow. What's good about it? Well, hospitalizations and deaths from COVID-19 haven't risen quite as sharply. That's because Omicron, that's the hope anyway, the variant, maybe not as severe as the Delta variant. Although, beware, I have friends that were vaxxed and boosted, and they got it. And one of them described it to me as waking up and felt like they were eating glass, felt foggy, exhausted. It lasted a couple of days, though, and it passed, and there was no hospitalization. So there is that side of it. So what's happened as far as things being canceled besides flights because of the virus? The Military Bowl, Sun Bowl, Fenway Bowl, last show I talked at length about that, latest college bowl games to be canceled. There's a ton of college bowl games. I'm surprised that's all that there is. But the NCAA has to, when there's too many cases, they have to knock it down. So with the way they're being reported, you know, there may be more later in the deal that will get canceled in the next, you know, couple of days, maybe even. I hope not, though. I hope that doesn't happen. So President Biden spoke to a group of governors on Monday, and he was asked by Republican Governor Asa Hutchinson from Arkansas about production and distribution by the federal government of rapid coronavirus tests, which you all know, I think that is the biggest blunder that the Biden administration has made. That how did they not have this already going? I mean, other countries had this going in the beginning of the pandemic, because of course you're going to want home kits. Biden said, we just have to stay focused and continue to work together. My message to the governor is simple. If you need something, say something. We're going to have your back in any way we can. Oh, yeah, except for we don't have the test kits that everybody needs, and there's a shortage of. Duh. But again, this is the biggest blunder of the Biden administration, to me, one of them anyway, in the entire year that we've gone through. So the rest of the call went like this, where the president said there is no federal solution. He said there's no federal solution. He said this gets solved at the state level. This is the president's first public remarks about the pandemic after Christmas. And he was trying to highlight what they're doing to respond to Omicron, this variant that's sweeping the U.S. and, of course, the world, too. And the president pointed out the availability of vaccines, which he says has left Americans in a much better place than at the beginning of the pandemic. And I mentioned to you the here at the top, the question from the governor of Arkansas, which I think was valid. You know, what's going on with the production of it? That's what we need. We need tests. People don't know if they should be at one place or another place, or, you know, they say they're vaccinated or boosted. And so how do you keep safe from that? Supposedly that will be available in January. All right, how about this? With the amount of coronavirus cases that are being reported in the U.S., but not just in the U.S., across the world, France, more than 104,000 new cases over the weekend. Six-figure daily tally for the first time. Britain, Italy, Ireland, I feel you. We talked to so many people from those places. And Australia, the Australian state of New South Wales, also record number, a level of new cases. We talked to all of these people, a lot of the people from these areas, as you know, and our high-impact authors that we've talked to this year in the segments that we do. And speaking of that, we got some great authors coming up. I'll tell you about that in a couple of minutes. But here's another part that I have to say, this is probably a really smart move. Five Republican-led states have extended unemployment benefits to people who lost jobs over vaccine mandates. And there are others that may follow. So workers who quit or are fired for cause, which they're going against company policy, and they're ineligible for jobless benefits. So Arkansas, Florida, Iowa, Kansas, Tennessee, they have exceptions for those who won't submit to the multi-shot coronavirus vaccine regimens. And there are other ideas that are being floated around in Wyoming, Wisconsin, and Missouri as well. All right, I gotta say, this is going to be very, very interesting, I think, to watch what happens in the NFL. We have just a couple of weeks left in the NFL, and we're seeing that more players are testing positive for COVID. And of course, when they test positive, there's no timeline for that. When they test positive, it's announced and that's it. And it makes you think sports gambling couldn't be bigger. If you flip on your tube, you'll see it advertised all over the place. And of course, fantasy football's always been big. And so is, you know, just office pools, even virtual office pools, and different leagues that there are. And of course, we do our Nail the Score. Let's face it, it's so fun on Wednesday into Thursday in our first hour or last segment, which, by the way, we'll have that this week. All you have to do is call 855-266-5283, 855-266-5283, or send me an email, Kate at katedelaneyradio.com. When I announce the game of the week, you tell me what you think the final score is going to be and who you think is going to win. It's that simple. And we have some really super big games coming up after a big week in the NFL. I watched a lot of football. Let me tell you, it's a great way to escape all of the pandemic nonsense. Coming up, we have a couple of authors for you. We had a big year interviewing a lot of different people about some interesting books they wrote, whether they were novels or they were true stories or whatever it was. One of the people that we talked to, so we're going to talk to a couple of new ones. Rita Giuliani is going to join us, and Jean Bernie Baird is going to join, Braid is going to join us as well, rather. And Carl Brush is one of those authors that we spent some time with. And he talked about the Texas Revolution, and he talked about the Yellow Rose, who was Emily West, but was called Emily Morgan. And what's that all about in San Antonio? And I'm headed to San Antonio in a couple of weeks. It's where I got married. And I love the history of San Antonio, Texas. So you're going to find this really fascinating, this flashback with Carl Brush and what he talked to us about earlier this year. So stay with us.
Lines are down or moving slow, and that most everything costs more these days. But good news, high-quality Sunny Bay products are in stock and ready to ship now because they're made in the USA. Like our extra-long neck heating pads, they provide soothing relief to painful sore necks and backs, are microwavable, and come in a variety of colors and patterns. What a great gift! An extra-long neck heating pad from Sunny Bay, also available in lavender-scented. Buy now in time for the holidays and avoid any shipping delays. Available on Amazon, Walmart, Etsy, and sunny-bay.com. Just search for Sunny Bay Heating Pad. They're great for men or women, are reusable, and easy to clean. So this year, give the gift of pain relief, an extra long neck wrap from Sunny Bay. Remember, just search for Sunny Bay Heating Pads. Order now when our stock is high and shipping is fast. And happy holidays from Sunny Bay.
If you're concerned about the power grid and want to generate your own supply of off-grid electricity, this will be the most important message you'll hear this year. Here's why. We now have a small number of solar generators back in stock. These emergency backup systems provide life-saving backup power when you need it most. And unlike gas generators, solar generators run quietly, emit no dangerous fumes, and produce an endless supply of free electricity from the sun. Whether it's wildfires, dangerous weather, power grid issues, or just getting off the grid, you'll never have to suffer through painful power outages again. Even better, all this week, radio listeners get over $700 in free off-the-grid bonuses, too. Go to MySolarBackup.com to learn more and check availability. That's MySolarBackup.com. Look for the free report, Crisis Cooling, how to make absolutely sure your meat, milk, and medicines stay safe and cool in any power outage. Yours free at MySolarBackup.com.
Do you feel like you're doing what you were made for? Do you love what you do? Do you feel inspired or at least pretty happy most days? In my book, Deal Your Own Destiny, Increase Your Odds, Win Big and Become Extraordinary, I share the secrets that rock stars share with me from the business world, people like Sir Richard Branson, or sports hall of famers like former Cowboy great Emmitt Smith. All of them had one thing in common. They paid attention to their gut, followed their dreams, and didn't listen to the critics. George Eliot says it's never too late to be who you might have been. Pick up a copy of Deal Your Own Destiny on Amazon today.
The Tahibo Tea Club's original pure Pouty Arco Super Tea naturally builds good cells and kills bad cells. So, it's great for healthy people, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting an infection, diabetes, or cancer. To order, visit drinksupertea.com or call 818-965-9113. That's drinksupertea.com. 818-965-9113. drinksupertea.com.
She's in our virtual green room right now. Rita Giuliani joins us, and she's written a couple of books, actually. We want to talk to her about three families. Rita, thanks for coming on.
Oh, thank you. My pleasure.
So what led to your writing? I mean, I said you've written a couple of books. You certainly have.
I've written four.
Yeah,
and I'm currently writing my fifth novel. Actually, writing can be looked upon as a craft and an inborn talent. There's something that is natural, though, for sure. It can be acquired and learned, and as I consider it self-fulfilling and educational and meaningful. And for me, there's no greater pastime or hobby, not to mention it's a wonderful source of enjoyment, extreme pleasure, and it's a diversion from the pressures many of us, you know, we experience in life. And I have always been enthusiastic about and passionate about writing. And for me, it's a form of release. And it, honestly, the research enables me to formulate ideas, sharpen my mind, and I think it gives me a sense of accomplishment. So I do find writing novels very challenging and inspiring. And as I said, it also helps me develop my vocabulary, grammatical skills, and I find it very fascinating, to be honest with you.
Yeah, and what's interesting about you, too, is you're a member of the Romance Writers of America.
Yes.
And in this book, you have romance, you have love, you have hate. So tell us what Three Families is about. Somebody wants to get this book. What kind of a story can they expect?
Well, I can honestly say, I objectively and unequivocally say that they will not be disappointed in taking the time to read this novel. As the plot unfolds, the reader will immediately begin to grasp the intensity and the drama that exists among these three families. I want to say at the outset, the novel is written conservatively, but at the same time, it can provoke pity, some outrage, sympathy, revulsion. However, I can almost guarantee there's nothing abrasive about the novel. and it will not create a feeling of distaste or aversion, despite the fact that, you know, these three families are from very diametrically different backgrounds. They clash. There is dissension. Some of the characters are very opinionated and controlling. And on the contrary, let me assure the listeners that there's nothing offensive or insulting about the novel. I think it's fast-moving. It's romantic. It deals with obsession, manipulation, and fear. The main characters are Alfredo Gismondi. He's an Italian Catholic living in the North. Rachel Gassner, who is Jewish. She also lives in the North. And Sarah Langley, who is a Southern Baptist. And they come together under very highly unusual and extraordinary circumstances. They ultimately face very traumatic situations, unlike anything they ever experienced before in their lives. However, they do demonstrate and exemplify the strength and the courage to overcome these, each crisis. But because of their background and their culture, they harbor very strong opinions and religious beliefs. You know, obviously they represent very divergent and completely opposite viewpoints.
Right, right, their backgrounds. So what do you hope people take away from reading this novel, Three Families?
There could be a happy ending, number one, despite the opinionated individuals that are represented in this novel. The story gets very involved and complex. I think there's a lot of pace, tedious situations, which can be overcome.
See, all right, so that's it. So what, you could apply that to your own life is what I think.
Exactly.
That's why the three families, yeah.
Yes, that's what I was hoping to achieve.
Yeah.
That, people could use it as, like a mirror of their own lives.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know, it makes sense, and I love that you put those three backgrounds. I'm from back east. I grew up in New Jersey and New York, and so I grew up in that kind of culture where you had all kinds of different people, and you can see how you develop the characters with the clashes. So interesting, and you really flesh the characters out well. So people that read this book will get a sense of all of them. You can get Rita Giuliani's book, Three Families, and her other books as well on Amazon and wherever great books are sold. So, Rita, thank you so much for coming on.
Oh, thank you, Kate. And thanks again. It was a pleasure. Okay?
Yeah. Thank you.
Again, thanks to Rita Giuliani for that conversation there. It's so interesting. This year we've had some amazing authors on the show, and I love the storytelling. That's what it's about. It's the characters. It's how they come to you and all of that. It's interesting because gift cards were big. Gift cards were big for Amazon, and Amazon, while it is the everything to so many people where they order just about everything you can imagine, books still are one of the main tenets of Amazon, and a lot of people got gift cards, and I think many of you got books of some of the authors that we've had over the years. So thanks for that, because you've sent me some emails on it. So speaking of retail, listen to this. U.S. consumers obviously wanted to spend this holiday season. I think it's therapeutic for some people. It makes them feel better if they can afford it, even if they can, if they can afford a little bit. Retail sales soared 8.5%. over last year. This study just came out a couple of days ago. Online sales were up 11%, in-store sales 8.1% between November 1st and Christmas Eve. This is MasterCard Spending Plus. They did a study. It's the strongest in 17 years. And that doesn't even include, by the way, automobile sales. Now, if you were going for used cars, forget it. I mean, anytime I take my car in to get it fixed, they say, how much you want for that? And honestly, my mechanic told me that it's crazy how it's so tough to get certain kinds of cars. So, again, it doesn't include automobiles. Consumers definitely, I think,
splurged, and consumers are you and me. Did you splurge over the holiday season? Because how are we all feeling in the situation that we're living under right now with the big question mark? Apparel, department stores, that was big. So people wanted to maybe dress better. I don't know. Are you tired of the sweatpants that we've all been wearing? Especially clothing, because they say in the study, 47.3% increase in sales year to year. As well as jewelry, 32% increase. I think it's important to know all of this. Why? Because it just shows you, I think, where collectively many of our heads are at. And I do think that some of that is because we want to try to spoil someone, or we want to feel better, or whatever the reasons are for it. Or, hey, we want to go out. We want to do whatever we want to do. But I guess I was surprised by the number. 8.5%, and the fact that it's the strongest in 17 years. We've only been in the pandemic a couple of years, and think of some of the years before that. So pretty interesting. I'm not surprised that electronic products were 6.2% growth, because how many people needed games or got virtual reality or needed things like phones, or we're working on other things that require technology. I mean, just even from the basic survival point, I think that's part of that. All right, I want to finish with this. This is so interesting. So a new Gallup poll comes out. U.S. Chief Supreme Court Justice John Roberts, highest approval ratings among 11 leaders. So Gallup had 11 leaders in it. President Biden, Vice President Harris, Chuck Schumer, Kevin McCarthy. So there was Republicans and Democrats that were in this. Senate Republican leader Mitch McConnell was in it as well. Roberts was the one of all the leaders to get a positive approval rating among a majority of Democrats and Republicans. How is that? So now you think about some of his rulings. So Democrats, 55% approved, 57% for Republicans. I don't know. To me, that was such a big wow. Highest approval rating, again, U.S. Supreme Court Justice John Roberts among all of the 11 leaders that were looked at. I mean, he's in a unique position, right? Because you got to think, I mean, he's in a unique position that he has majority level approval from Americans of both parties. The only other public figure in the poll who partisans agreed on was, check this out, Senate Minority Leader Mitch McConnell. And that was a consensus of disapproval, 34% approval rating, 63% disapproval, and that was equal. So he was not liked, really, Republicans or Democrats. And I just found that completely fascinating. And this is one survey. This is Gallup, right? And surveys are surveys and polls are polls. But I found that pretty interesting. And if you looked at Biden, his approval rating, 43%, disapproval, 51%. That sums it all up. All right, hang with us, and I'll meet you on the flip side.
Have you ever thought about turning your Glock, XD family, or 1911 handgun into a semi-automatic carbine? It only takes about 30 seconds. The MechTech Carbine Upper is classified as an accessory and can be delivered right to your doorstep with no FFL or background check required. It's the world's most versatile pistol accessory. Build your custom upper today. Simply go to handgunconversion.com. That's handgunconversion.com.
Frustrated trying to get business capital? Want to take the slow process and rejection out of the equation? GCNloans.com removes the slow, irritating approval process. Instead, get quick, simple funding. Powered by David Allen Capital, 80% of our pre-qualified clients are approved in days. Pre-qualify at GCNloans.com and get your money this week. It's that easy. GCNloans.com. That's GCNloans.com.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
USA Radio News.
I'm Brad Bernards. Oklahoma Republican Senator James Lankford criticized vaccine mandates by appealing to America's freedoms, arguing in an interview that we make our own free choices.
We're going to find every single leverage point that we can to allow Americans to be able to choose, because we're Americans. That's what we do. We make our own free choices, and we should be allowed to do that.
Lankford's remarks occurred during a recent interview with Newsmax TV concerning the government's response to growing COVID-19 cases following the recent spread of the Omicron variant. President Biden returned to Delaware for the 31st time since taking office Monday as the surging Omicron variant of COVID-19 dashed his plans for a post-Christmas vacation in Puerto Rico to celebrate the new year. Biden will stay at his vacation home in Rehoboth Beach with First Lady Jill Biden and new first puppy Commander. This is USA Radio News. Chicago Mayor Lori Lightfoot was slammed on Twitter after she and her wife posted a video wishing a joyous Kwanzaa to all who celebrate.
The seven principles of Kwanzaa guide us to unity and cooperation as we work to uplift and protect our neighbors. As you prepare for your Kwanzaa celebrations, I urge you to keep these values in mind, but also maintain COVID-19 safe celebrations.
The backlash comes as Lightfoot is accused of ignoring the city's surge in violent crimes, including a 25-year high murder rate with 767 homicides in the city so far this year. President Biden now says
there is no federal solution. This gets solved at a state level.
Biden said at the meeting Monday with the National Governors Association, this from a president who ran on the promise that he would beat the virus and get it under control.
I'm not going to shut down the country. I'm going to shut down the virus.
This is USA Radio News.
We've entered a time where sky truly is the limit and opportunity awaits. The Internet has become a platform of everyone's worldwide communications. Billionaires building businesses on platforms that didn't even exist a generation ago. But in the sea of noise, how can the voice of your business be heard? The secret is over 100 years old. Radio. 228% more effective than TV. That's 228% more effective than television. Brick and mortar and cyber businesses alike have found radio to be the most effective for building a brand and delivering customers. Learn the secrets of radio advertising by calling 877-996-4327 or email advertise@gcnlive.com. That's advertise@gcnlive.com.
Yellow Rose, a novel of the Texas Revolution. Carl R. Brush joins us, and he's one of the writers of this book. And boy, you think of the Texas Revolution. And after I had a conversation with him, he filled in the blanks. There was a lot that I didn't know, so I think you're all going to find this interesting. Carl, thanks for coming on. What made you decide to tackle this? Why did you write the book?
The inspiration or the impetus came from my co-author, Bob Stewart. He was born and raised in Texas, and he invited me to join him in co-authoring the book. And I said, wait a minute, Bob, you know, I don't know much about that, the whole thing, except that it happened. And I am a Californian, and you're a Texan, and I don't know that I'm the right person for this job. And we had been corresponding online, and as authors often do these days, we looked at each other's manuscripts and had conversations on a variety of subjects. And he just said, well, I like your writing, and I think that we could collaborate and have a good time with this. So I went ahead, obviously, and we figured out a way of dividing up the tasks and shared the project. I had to learn an awful lot. He was born and raised in San Antonio, and so he grew up with this whole legend and history, and I knew virtually nothing, so I had a lot of research to do, but it was fun research. You know, it's a very interesting event, pretty unique. Texas was a actual nation, a republic, before it became a state, and how it got there and what happened afterwards was just fascinating. So,
wow. So let me ask you this. Let me stop you there. It was a republic. It's funny because you keep hearing that mentioned about, hey, we're breaking away. But it was, you're right, it was a republic before it was a state. It was a very different place from what I've read, and you know way more than me, of what it was like back in the day. So what happened? There was a series of battles, and it was led by somebody named Sam Houston, where they have they've got a huge statue of Sam Houston in Texas, in fact several, and you can't miss it from one of the highways when you're going down toward Houston. And what was his impact on the Texas and the Texas Revolution?
He actually got involved through Andrew Jackson, who, you know, had visions of bringing Texas into the Union. That didn't happen for quite a while after Texas became a republic. It happened in 1845, and as I said, the revolution was in 1836, that one tumultuous year. And so he kind of chose Houston as the general. There was a constitutional convention before the battle, and he was instrumental in that, and they wrote the document that established Texas as a nation. The United States was very young. The nearest state was, I think, Tennessee at the time. So that is the way it, you know, got started. So they charged. He got himself an army together, and they charged in. He promised people land and wanted to make the whole population, as I said, a whole nation. And away they went, and they had a lot of reversals, and for a while, it didn't look like they were going to do anything at all. But in the end, they established their Republican Santa, or not Santa Ana, but Houston was the military hero, and so he became the first president of the republic, and that's how he got involved.
Wow. So when you look at this and you were researching, what was the biggest surprise that you found when you researched the book Yellow Rose, a novel of the Texas Revolution? What surprised you the most?
I would have to say the story of the Alamo, which came about halfway through the battles, or through the whole tenure of the war, because I knew that the Alamo had been kind of a massacre, but I didn't realize that after the Alamo, Houston and his army had to do a very lengthy retreat all the way east across a couple of big rivers like the Colorado and the Brazos, and to evade Santa Anna's army. So I didn't know anything about that retreat, and I didn't know much about any of the battles. I thought it was had just been kind of a fait accompli, but it was a narrow thing. So I was quite surprised that it was, you know, the narrow victory that it was and how close it came to being a complete debacle.
Yeah, yeah. So interesting. I love the Alamo. I got married in San Antonio, and the Alamo is featured on my wedding invitation. So,
no kidding.
Yes,
no,
yes. And I grew up in Philly, so I just fell in love with that whole idea of what Texas was and what happened and touring it. And I would tell anyone listening, you get Carl's book and you go and you look at the Alamo, and you really get the real sense of what Texas was like, no question about it. And in this novel, and it is a novel, the novel mixes like legend with fact. I mean, that's what's so brilliant about this. So when you were writing it and you were doing this jointly with Bob, what was that process like for both of you?
Well, one of the reasons I like writing historical fiction is that you can, do a certain amount of history, but you can also embellish. And so it's the best of both worlds to me. And this particular incident was just made to order, because there is not very much known about a lot of the people involved. So we were kind of free to invent a great deal. The Yellow Rose actually existed. The woman was a free black from New York, and there was an entrepreneur who was trying to, or had in mind building a resort on Galveston Bay. I don't know how they met or exactly what the process was there, but she signed a year's contract to go down and help with this project. And so she was a very light-skinned woman, and they called that was a term, you know, a yellow rose was an attractive black woman who was very light in color. And so she went down there, and she was a yellow rose, and she got involved with the whole process of building this resort. And it was shortly before this revolution started. Now, we don't know historically how she was involved with Houston, or if she was involved at all. And nobody knows what happened to her after the revolution. She just fades away into history, and there's a lot of speculation, which is nice, because I can speculate along with anybody else and and turn it into a plot. So so we got going with that, and we decided that that of course there had to be a good romance between Sam Houston and her. We don't, historically nobody knows whether they ever even met. The way we set it up was that I would write the chapters that involved the Yellow Rose, whose name was Emily West. Although if you go to San Antonio, you'll find her referred to as Emily Morgan, sort of a slave thing, because the guy who was building this resort was named Morgan, so everybody called her after him, but her actual birth name was Emily West. I was writing the chapters that were from her point of view, and Bob was writing the chapters that were from Sam Houston's point of view. And so we went back and forth, and of course traded manuscripts and criticized each other, and had a few knockdown dragouts here and there.
As any good writing pair would. I love it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Wow. So interesting.
He was very adamant about this business of her being Emily West, because since you've been around San Antonio, you might know that there's a Morgan Hotel.
Yes.
That was named after her.
Yeah.
So, being born and bred there, he was, pretty
adamant. Yeah, we're going to do that for sure. Hey, we're out of time, but this was terrific. Yellow Rose, a novel of the Texas Revolution. Carl R. Brush, thank you for coming on. You can pick it up on Amazon.
Okay. Thank you very much.
guys, why settle for poor quality Powdiarco that's sold by stores and online resellers when you can get Tahibo Tea Club's original pure Powdiarco Super Tea at drinksupertea.com or 818-965-9113. The Tahibo Tea Club's original pure Powdiarco Super Tea is only available at drinksupertea.com. 818-965-9113. 818-965-9113. That's drinksupertea.com.
Do you feel like you're doing what you were made for? Do you love what you do? Do you feel inspired or at least pretty happy most days? In my book, Deal Your Own Destiny, Increase Your Odds, Win Big and Become Extraordinary, I share the secrets that rock stars shared with me from the business world, people like Sir Richard Branson, or sports hall of famers like former Cowboy great Emmitt Smith. All of them had one thing in common. They paid attention to their gut, followed their dreams, and didn't listen to the critics. George Eliot says it's never too late to be who you might have been. Pick up a copy of Deal Your Own Destiny on Amazon today.
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to generate an endless supply of natural silver solutions, SilverLungs.com. You'll find no wild claims or pseudoscience, just a lifetime of nano-sized pure silver solutions. The Silver Lungs generator allows you to make your own, so stop paying for silver solutions. The unique lung delivery system targets respiratory infections where other silver solutions simply cannot reach. See the Silver Lungs generator and lung delivery system at SilverLungs.com. That's SilverLungs.com.
If you feel America is facing more dangers than ever, you're right. An increasing number of things are falling apart daily. That's why you need to prepare for more of the unexpected, and that includes food shortages. When people panic, grocery stores run out of food fast. Would you survive without food for days, weeks, even months? The smart folks are buying emergency food now. Take this moment to shop MyPatriotSupply.com. We're America's leader in preparedness. My Patriot Supply has earned over 47,000 four-star and five-star reviews. Our delicious food kits average 2,000 calories per day and last up to 25 years in storage, so it's there when you need it. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com, order a food kit or two, and we'll ship quickly and discreetly to your door. Don't wait for the news to tell you something bad happened again. Rather, be more self-reliant and prepared. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com. MyPatriotSupply.com.
What if you could cut your heating bills this winter with your existing wood-burning fireplace and not spend thousands doing it? You can with Great Wall of Fire Fireplace Grates. Our U.S.-patented, made-in-America Wall of Fire Grates increase fireplace efficiency, eliminate fireplace smoke problems, and come with a 30-day money-back guarantee. See our grates in action and get free shipping from walloffire.com or call 800-274-7364. Fireplace heat without fireplace smoke. Walloffire.com.
In New Zealand for a conversation with Jean Burney Braid. Wow, this woman has led such an interesting life, and her book is so interesting. She really tackles a subject that there's not too much out there about, actually. And she spent time in Myanmar, where such a giving person, again, orphanages, setting up orphanages, preschool, pastoring, just wonderful. So, Jean, thanks so much for coming on.
Well, thank you for the invite and having me. It's wonderful to meet you and talk with you and to have such an audience. Thank you very much.
This audience is going to be really intrigued by your book, Jesus in the Desert Tabernacle, The Gate to the Sheep Pen. What made you decide to tackle the tabernacle, really?
Well, it was really the Lord. He led me. In 1993, I had an open-eyed vision, and I recorded that in my journal at the time, and then not forgot about it, but put it aside and wondered if I would ever use the dream. And then one day I was researching, biblical research in Chiang Mai with my friend who was going through some really difficult times, and the Lord spoke to me again, and he said, write about the tabernacle. So I began to research it. And in the research, it was just a completely God meeting me every step of the way, showing me visions, making divine encounters with people, giving me research books that were 200 or more years old, meeting up with people that had similar interests, and just amazing. I want to read a little bit that I wrote about the tabernacle. So the tabernacle draws my attention because it looks so humble and simple. And I see it dwarfed by the rock-strewn mountains and craggy landscapes of the desert, standing on the rocky, sand-strewn desert floor in the middle of thousands of family tents is a fenced courtyard. Emerging from the roof at the western end is a huge plume of cloud. My memory stirs and I hear the voice whispering, "This is Moses' tent of meeting." Impressive. It draws my attention because it looks so humble. "But a tent dwelling, Lord," I asked him. "It seems so earthy, so plain, so fragile." "It is," Elohim gently answered. "It is all of those. But aren't you fragile? Aren't you soft like a linen cloth? Aren't you easily corrupted and persuaded and tricked and deceived?" And I see this desert tent. It's the picture first of Jesus, that God sent his only son to come and live with us. And one of the Hebrew translations is to pitch his tent among us in our wilderness. I really love that translation. And the other picture is from Hebrews 10, where God says the tabernacle is a model of instruction, both for this life and for the life to come.
Wow. So for you, very powerful. For you, what was it like to write this, to go through and think about that vision and do the research and realize, like I said, there aren't very many books at all really about the tabernacle?
I know. That is so amazing too, because of all the topics in the Bible, the tabernacle has the most chapters and references of any single topic. And yet it's rarely neglected, relegated out to the children's church or to a back room Bible study. And it's not given the prominence that God would give it when he said, "This is a model for you." So I thought I was going to be bored. I thought, oh, the tabernacle. But when I began, I couldn't believe what the Lord was showing me. That one of the researchers that I did, that seems a little bit off. I went in, there's three colors in the gate of the tabernacle. There's blue, and that stands for Jesus is the Son of God, blue being heavenly. There's purple, that's the middle color, and that's Jesus is the Son of Man, the humanity of man, and also the suffering of Christ. He was bruised for our iniquities. He was bruised for our trespasses. And purple is the color of bruising. And it's also the colour that the Romans wore in their prestigious garments when they were abusing the people. And then red is the third colour, and that has a triple meaning of Jesus as the son of David, Jesus as the son of Israel, and Jesus as the son of Zion. So I never knew any of that. I just never knew it. And not only that, but that those colours were cross-stitched into the white linen cloth. So this meant that the linen cloth became heavy and thick, which is the miracle of the splitting of the veil when Jesus gave his spirit up. So we know that story. Most of us know that story, that the temple veil split from top to bottom as Jesus died.
Yeah.
So that cross-stitch. All of that cross-stitching, those are the colours. And then on top of that cross-stitching were the symbols of sacrifice, the wheat, which goes back to Joseph, and he had that dream of the wheat, and the oxen, which is the most expensive offering that you could give, and the lamb, and the dove, which was the common offering for the poorer people. And Mary and Joseph took the dove into the temple when Jesus was born, because they were poor people and they couldn't afford that more expensive offering. Just amazing.
Yeah, and there's so many, there's much more even in the book, and we don't want to tell everyone everything in the book, but just what you've described, you know, Jesus in the Desert, Tabernacle, The Gate to the Sheep Pen. You can get this course on Amazon. Jean, what do you hope people take away from reading the book?
I would like them to be nudged back towards God. I think people have got busy and they've forgotten him. God's been put on the side. Everyone wants God, and everyone wants what he will give them. And everyone is going to heaven. But they don't know anything about heaven. They don't know anything of the roadmap to heaven. And I want them to see in the book that God has put steps of instruction for us to follow, and that will lead us to him, and it will lead us into our future relationship with him.
Yeah, such a giving person. I mentioned this, bringing this full circle around to Myanmar and what happened there. What was that like for you, working with the people there?
Yeah, I really loved it. The military is there, as we all know, and the military have dominated Myanmar for decades. And that has been a tragedy. And the people have become resilient and survivors. Yangon is a city of perhaps 15 to 20 million people. The country itself is 66 million people. The main tribe, the Bamar tribe, they dominate the business sector with China. And then the tribal people are marginalized to a degree. Although Myanmar, the name Myanmar means all of us. And when you talk to a person, I know politically people call it Burma, but Burma refers to that central tribal group. Not tribal, they're a kingdom people, the centre people. So they're kings and they're a kingdom people. But the tribal group, they want to include those people in, and especially with the combined suffering that they've all had over the last 82 or so years. So Myanmar means all of us are included. A very nice name.
Boy, no kidding. And I think that comes back to, again, your book, that everyone's included, and your heartfelt message, as you said, you want everybody to know that that what the roadmap and what the roadmap is to heaven. Was it gratifying for you to write the book, to see it finally, hold it in your hand, see it?
It was so exciting. It's become my life call, and it supersedes anything that I've ever done before. I've had many adventures in my life, but this has superseded it. This has been the cherry on the top of the cake. It's wonderful. I'm so grateful to God for leading me to the research and to continue nudging me. I'm writing two further books at the moment and putting a lot more personal detail into it. And I'm really just enjoying the whole process. Very exciting.
And again, the book is Jesus in the Desert, Tabernacle, The Gate to the Sheep Pen. You can get it on Amazon. Jean, Bernie, Brave, thanks for coming on.
Oh, thank you, Kate. Thank you very much.
And thanks to all of you for listening. Remember to make it count, everybody.
Hi, this is Kate Delaney, and I have a confession to make. I'm addicted to journaling. So many of the ideas I get from my radio show or books hit me at weird times, and I need to write them down. Does that happen to you? So I decided to create my own journal with my pal Jackie. Looking for a great gift for your wife, sister, mother, aunt, friend, or boss to end 2020 or kick off 2021? My girlfriend's gratitude journal includes inspirational quotes and loads of room to write, and it just dropped. Here's the best part. You'll also get a copy of my Forbes book, Deal Your Own Destiny. Increase your odds, win big, and become extraordinary. It's loaded with ways to chart your own life and filled with the success habits with some of the biggest names on the planet, stuff they shared with me that can help catapult you. Here's the best part. For both hardcover books, it's just $29.99. Yep, go to katedelaneyradio.com, click on books, and special offer. Again, all of it for just $29.99. I got the shipping covered. What are you waiting for? Just go to katedelaneyradio.com, click on books, and special offer today.